You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
This is re-estimating, re-entry class. Re-entry class. So since it's not church, we can get away with singing a little more classy and a little, not necessarily classy, but a little more toe-tapping style songs. So if you'll stand right straight up with us, let's start with Yes, Lord, Yes. This evening. Dr. John, come right on up and help us. I don't know, I thought Miss Dolores would be here tonight, but she is getting old. So y'all don't have to tell her I said that because she already knows she is.
Days and then I fly away. when I die. Hallelujah, bye and bye.
Couple more real quick. You know this one. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? As I've seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? As I've seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Just a short one on that one.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice. His voice, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Appreciate you coming to be with us at the Rec Room tonight.
Got it. All right. How's everybody?
Good.
For those of you that just overlooked getting me a Christmas gift, I'll be here a little while tonight after the... Everybody have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, said, "You get what you wanted?" And I said, "Let me tell you, as long as I don't get what I deserve, I'm in good shape, man. Glad to have you at the Rec Room. These holidays are kind of messed up. I get one day mixed up with the other one. But if you're here for the first time, would you lift your hand? First time you ever been to Rec Room in your life. All right. Now, what we'd like to do, we've got a blue card. No, it's not a blue tonight. It's white. Okay. If... just keep your hand up. If you'll fill that out for us and drop it in that purple box that'll be sitting on the table as you leave tonight, we would appreciate that. That'll get you on our Loops mailing list and keep you abreast of what's going on with Loops and different things that we're doing and any special days and stuff that we might have. So please do that for us. We welcome you to the rec room. Want you to be here. Anybody can come. Every now and then somebody will ask me, well, do you have to be an ex-inmate? Now, anybody can come. And then you can bring anybody you want to with you. Bring the kids. Bring the family. Bring mama. Everybody. We're be glad to have you. So we appreciate you being here. That purple box that you're going to drop a card in has got another function. It is the Rec Room Assistance Fund box. And any monies that are put in that box go to help rec room people. They don't go for donuts. They don't go for coffee. They don't go for cold drinks. They go to help people who have needs. And seldom does a week go by that somebody doesn't have a need. And that's what we use that money for. It's not a savings account. We're not trying to build up fund. Don't have any goal to buy anything with it, just to help people. And I can tell you now, just let me tell you this, that you can't outgive God. Now, we don't pass the plate in here, and if you don't want to give, you feel free not to give. Did you catch that? See, God's not broke. He's not poor. And so, but we found this, that you just can't outgive Him. And so if you want a blessing, give. Now if you're just trying to get something from God, then you can forget that, because we can't con Him. We found that out. I hope we found that out. We need to. But anyhow, appreciate you being here. If you can help in that, God would bless you for it. If you can't or don't want to, you still just go right ahead and enjoy the service and have a good time with us. When Charles comes in a moment, or whoever's going to do our special music, then the bar's closed and the restrooms are closed, and they will be for the next few minutes. And then when we're through in here tonight, everything will be wide open. We guarantee to always be through by 8 o'clock at the rec room, because every now and then, and I'll not ask for a show of hands, but every now and then we have people that are on monitor. And the deal we've made with parole office is that if they will cut them to 8:30 on Thursday night, we'll stop at 8. You can be anywhere in Ector County in 30 minutes from this location. So we're always through. Now, nobody has to leave at that time. If you want to stay and fellowship and visit, maybe you're looking for a job. Somebody tonight mentioned that. That they're looking for a job. We got folks that can tell you about where people are hiring. So visit around. Ask more people than just me. I may not know, but Doug might know, or Johnny might know, or somebody else, or Roger might know. Folks that are hiring. And so anyway, just enjoy the rec room. Have a great time. And also help us on our butt cans. If you wouldn't put paper goods in them, that really helps. Just put those in the trash if you would, and don't put them in there full of drink. If you pour that out before you will, and that helps our people cleaning up. But anyway, we welcome you here. Want you to have a great time tonight and enjoy yourself, and we'll try to bring in the new year right. Okay? Thank you.
Well, who would have thought we would still be here at the end of 2010? I never thought the Lord would let the world go on this long myself. But I'm kind of glad He has. I'm having the time of my life at Life Change Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but I love the rec room. I love Life Change Baptist Church. But every time we have the end of a year, and it does seem they come a lot faster nowadays than they used to. Maybe you're young folks, you probably don't realize that. But they do come around a lot faster when you get above 60-something. So, I tripped on my cord. anyway, when we come to the end of the year every year, I start feeling kind of homesick, and that's kind of what this song talks about. It's a beautiful hymn that came out a few years ago called Sweet Beulah Land.
Three different places. And if you'll get your hand up, we've got somebody that'll bring you one. Are we out, Henry, or we got some more? Okay, we got some hands up here on this side. Well, he's doing that since Charles mentioned what he did. I picked this up off the internet. It said, if you own just one Bible, you're blessed because one-third of the world does not own one. Now, let me add to you getting a Bible tonight that if you don't have one, you just keep that one. That'll be the rec room's gift to you. We've got one over here on this side, Henry. And if you would, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we're going to start and be talking about in a moment. Also, it said if you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than the million who will not survive the week. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed. Listen to this. You're more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in the world. I thought this was interesting because most of us consider ourselves poor. And there's reason for that. We're poor. That's why we consider ourselves such. But it said if you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Now, not Texas wealthy, not Odessa's wealthy, or even the United States wealthy, but the world's wealthy. If you can read, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world who cannot read at all. Count your blessings, not your problems. I think that's good advice for all of us. I want to talk tonight about an invitation with RSVP. You ever get one of those? You ever wonder what that RSVP meant? We all know that what we're supposed to do if we get an invitation to a wedding or to a shower or graduation or whatever it might be, open house, if it says RSVP, we're supposed to let them know if we're going to show up or not. Now, I found out what RSVP meant. You can learn so much from coming to the rec room. I went to Google, and RSVP is in French, which impressed me right off. Why would we say... Let me tell you, and I don't have a clue if I'm pronouncing this right or not, because I haven't taken a whole lot of French, but what it means in French, those four letters means responsive s'il vous plaît, which means, please reply. Why didn't they just say that? Why didn't we just please reply? Isn't that fairly simple? We people have a way of just complicating everything. And so we used the French here. Now, the forerunner of Jesus Christ was his third cousin, which was a man by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. And he's the one that was the forerunner. He was the one that announced Jesus Christ. He came preaching. He was a rough and tumble sort of guy. He pulled no punches. And because of that, it got him in trouble. He was a hard preacher. He started off saying, repent. That means change what you're doing. You're doing it wrong. And he preached it to the rich, and he preached it to the poor, and he also preached it to the king of Israel, whose name was Herod, who had started shacking up with his brother's wife and stole her. And John got right up in his face and said, you're living in adultery. You're living like a dog. You need to stop that. And that got John thrown in prison. You know, we don't have much of that anymore. Used to, man, I can remember when preachers got up and named sin. Now we just say don't sin. They used to say don't smoke. They used to say don't steal. They used to say don't dance. They used to say don't lie. They used to say don't cheat. They begin to name things. We're afraid to name anything anymore. You know, we've got fancy names for them. We don't call a queer, we say that's an alternate lifestyle. Hey. Well, so's chasing rabbits, but we don't say abortion and murdering kids, we say, well, it's a freedom of choice. Do you know what that freedom of choice is? The choice of what? Choice to kill somebody. Now suppose I just carried that out till they're 50, you know. We will work around those things because people still get in trouble over it. People still, folks don't want them doing those things. We don't want to talk about porno. We run commercials on how to beat the credit card company. Have you ever noticed that? If you owe $10,000 on your credit card, you call us and we'll show you how to beat them out of it. You pay us as attorneys. We have got attorneys advising people how to cheat. And see, it's all right to cheat people that's got money, isn't it? It's all right to cheat the IRS. And when we borrow money, we think nothing about it. If we don't pay it back, we just file bankruptcy. Instead of saying, I stole the money. I love this one. The unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Why don't you just say the dude stole the car? We make it, I'm a chaplain out at the jail, but I'm not at the jail, I'm at the law enforcement center. You know, we've got all these nice terms about everything. And so John is sitting in prison. And things are not working out for him. He's not seeing what he thought he might see. So that's where I want to go with you tonight. Matthew chapter 11. John's in prison. He's been sent there by Herod. And by the way, before, John never gets out of prison except to get his head cut off. That's what ends up happening to one of the, in fact, Jesus will say in this chapter that there's been no man like John. What a prophet of God. Nobody like him. And you know how he ended up? He wasn't Bill Gates' right-hand man. He didn't end up in a palace. He ended up with his head cut off. One of the best men that ever lived. But in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start with about verse 2 here. If I can find it. Well, let's just start verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now somebody said, John is doubting. Let me tell you the difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt has to do maybe with understanding. Doubt has to do with the mind. Belief has to do with the will. We choose not to believe. Things, and you and I, some of you have gotten saved, and you thought, boy, I've trusted Christ, my life is going to be a bowl of cherries, and you found out nobody liked you anymore. Things begin to turn to pot. Everything was going wrong. It wasn't like you imagined. We've all been there. It wasn't like I imagined. Here I am. I finally straightened up. I'm getting my life straight. I'm not cheating folks. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm not doing these things. And now all of a sudden people don't like me. I thought I was doing good. And I'm not doing too good. I don't like it. And so it's a doubt. It's not unbelief. It's a doubt. And so John has got some doubt slipping in. The best of God's children doubt sometimes. But it's not unbelief. Know the difference. And here's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, you go back and tell John. Verse 4. Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. Now Jesus didn't say, go back and tell him I said. He said, you observe, you examine, you experience, you look and see what's going on. He said, the things which you do hear and see, the proof is in the pudding. He said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean. See, never had the blind received their sight anywhere in the Bible. You know Jesus Christ, the first person that ever gave sight to the blind? Moses, with all the miracles that Moses performed and all of the plagues that he brought on Egypt, nobody had ever stopped a blind man from being blind and gave him his sight. Jesus Christ did that. He said, you'll see the lame walk. Jesus Christ came to help people have a better life. He said, the lepers are cleansed. In their day, it was the worst of all diseases. Today, we've got cancer, we've got heart attacks, but leprosy was something, not only was it a fatal type disease, but you couldn't be around anybody. It was very contagious. He said, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. And then I like this. He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I immediately thought, I wonder what the rich have preached to them. But it didn't take long to figure that out, does it? I'm sure they were teaching the rich about self-love. Well, I just learned to forgive myself. Well, that'd be impressive to the judge, I'm sure. You tell him that no use to him to worry about your sentence. You've already forgiven yourself. I've learned to love myself. Let me tell you something. We learned that before we were two. You put 2 2-year-olds in one room with one toy and see how they love themselves. See how they share. See how they're willing to just give to the other one. See? The rich want to hear the good things. Our big mega preachers with their mega incomes and all that money that they have. They're not telling anybody about their sin. They're saying, let me tell you what, if you'll give to me, God will double it for you. You know, one fellow said, you send me $100 and God will give you $1,000. If I'd had a phone, knew I'd get in touch with this guy, I just said, why don't you send me $100 and let God give you $1,000? Didn't we go for that stuff. We're trying to get all the help that we can sometime, but we're not trying to do it from the Lord. He said the poor have the gospel preached on them. It's amazing that, and let me say this, the poor don't need the gospel any more than the rich. Sometimes not as much. But that was one thing about Jesus. He made sure that the poor heard the gospel. Many of the rich didn't want to hear him. They turned their backs on him. But he said they will hear the gospel. While they're wanting to hear, I'm okay, you're okay. The feel-good sermons, the think positive. And then notice this. He said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Does Christ's name offend you? If you're standing around a bunch of gals or guys, and somebody comes up to you and said, are you still saved? Did you trust Jesus? Does that offend you? Does that make you want them to go away? Or you say, praise God, I am. I'm going to tell you what. If you're hanging around people that name would offend you, you need to get a better class of people to hang around with. Jesus said, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Oh, we'll talk about the Baptist, we'll talk about the Catholic, we'll talk about the Presbyterian, but we don't talk much about Jesus. Hey, are you offended in Jesus? That's the name, it's above every name. Does it offend you? Jesus said, you go back, you tell John this, and that blessed is anybody that's hanging out with me. Let me tell you what's good about being with Jesus. You get to go where he is. I had a friend, he's passed on now. But they asked him one time about trying to get him to go to Jerusalem, take a tour to Jerusalem. And they said, don't you want to go where Jesus was? And he said, no, I want to go where Jesus is. And I'd have to agree with him that Jesus is in heaven. We get to go where he is. Now, Jesus then continues to tell him about John, and we're not going to spend any time with that. And he's telling him what kind of guy that John was. But I want you to go down to verse 28 with me. The last three verses in this chapter, and Jesus has been talking all this time. And he said, come unto me. Here's the invitation that requires an RSVP. It's going to require a reply. Come unto me. That also requires a choice. Come unto me. He didn't say come unto the church. And I'm for church. And those of you that are in my classes, you hear me say every week that I'm for church. But that won't get you to heaven. Jesus will. You certainly be better off in the church than you will a lot of other places. But he said, come unto me, unto Christ. Not a creed, but to Jesus Christ, a person. And then notice what he said. Take my yoke upon you. Now yoke is for two. You don't need a yoke for one. Because to yoke anybody together, you're going to have two. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How much do you know about Jesus? And I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but let me tell you that God, as I understand him, won't cut it. Do you know him? If I said to many of you, you know Tony Romo? Well, how long you known old Tony? See, we know who he is. We know who he plays for. We know that he's getting ready to get married. We know what they tell us on television. But we don't know Tony Romo. We just know who he is. We know something about him, but we don't know him. And we got a world full of people that knows that at Christmas time we recognize the birth of Jesus Christ, and at Easter time we recognize the resurrection of Christ, and that churches are supposed to honor Christ, but they don't know Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What do you know about Jesus? Are you friends? He told his disciples, I call you friends. Are you friends with Jesus? Can you run to him and say, man, I got a problem. I got some heartaches. I'm hurting. You can, but do you? Because we don't know him that well. How would you get to know Jesus? Read the book he left us. Do you know that God put everything in writing that we need to know? Everything is here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Here's what he said. Check me out. One day they asked Christ, said, where do you live? He said, come and see. See, truth fears no investigation. Come and see. Christ never had anything to hide. Come and see. Learn of me. I'm open to you. And yet, of the one person that the world does not know, it's the very one that said, come and learn of me. We don't know much about him. Oh, we know what this church believes and that church believes, and we know what some of those things are and what something else is, and this bunch doesn't agree with that bunch. But what do you know about Jesus? Learn of him. I wished I had the words. It's times like these that I feel so inadequate of just not being able to express what we really need, what I need to know about Him, what you need to know about Him. And the better you know Him, the sweeter He is. Oh, some of you are still fighting that old fight. You're tired, you're sick. You're going to leave here and go back to problems. Every day it seems like there's more problems. It's just running in place almost. Why don't you just learn of Him? Won't you turn to Him? I remember standing in a little church in Brownwood, Texas. And I said, God, I can't quit drinking. God, I can't quit this. And I began to enumerate things that I'd argued to other people about. Right, just fine. I said, I can't quit. Can't quit. And every time he said, I'm not asking you to quit. And finally I said, what do you want? Now this argument going on between me and God, nobody else can hear it. It's in my mind. I said, what do you want? Just what do you want? He said, I just want you. And God being my witness, that's what I said in my mind. Here goes nothing. I didn't realize for years later how big a nothing it was. But here goes nothing. I'd never realized that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I knew He died. I thought they just killed Him. I didn't know He died for me, to take me to heaven, that He cared about me, that He paid for my sins, and all of these things that I was enumerating to Him that I couldn't quit, He'd already paid for. And He also knew that if I turned it over to Him, then I'd want to please Him. And those things would not be an issue anymore. I can tell you now, and there'd been many new years had come up. In fact, I got where I wouldn't, back when I was drinking, I didn't like to go out on New Year's Eve night because I didn't like to be around amateur drunks. Just us pros was one that was supposed to be out there. But I'm going to tell you, I will drink all the scotch I want this New Year's Eve. I just don't want any. And I can tell you the honest truth about that. I do not want any. Don't care about it at all. Because when you know Him, those things change. Come unto me, He said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you bow your heads with me? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you tired? Would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to get to know Him to see if He would do the things that you've heard that He said He would do? That He could heal a broken heart? That He could bring joy and peace and happiness into your life? That He could make it count for something? And even in days that you didn't enjoy, you could still have that joy? He said, come unto me. That's invitation. You're going to respond with a yes or a no. You're going to RSVP. Yes, I'm coming. No, I'm not. Would you come tonight? I want you to stand with head still bowed and eyes still closed. Stand to your feet, Charles. You're going to do just as I am for me. Want him to sing a verse of Just As I Am, about one plea. Would you come while he sings? Say, I want to trust this Jesus Christ. I'm turning it over to him. I don't know much, but whatever it takes, I want to do for him. And then we'll have somebody show you in the Bible what it takes. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Would you come? I'm tired. I want to end 2010 on Jesus' side. Would you do it? Same one other verse. Nobody comes on this, we'll be through. RSVP. What's your reply? Are you with him or against him? Would you come? Come on. Come. We're going to sing one more verse. If nobody comes, we're through. RSVP. Don't let it slip away. Come on. Come on. Precious to you? Is he a friend? You can have all that. Come on. Sing one more, Charles. One has come. If no one comes on this verse, we're through. Do what God wants you to do. Don't do what I want you to do. Don't do what Mama wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do. Come and pray. Maybe you just need to come and confess. Maybe you come like John said, repent. Would you come? Still bowed and our eyes still closed. Before you leave tonight, we're going to pray just in a moment. Before you leave tonight, if you've trusted Christ, or maybe at some other time, as you leave, on that table will be a little manual called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now, where you can sit and go back with your Bible over those verses that tell us how to get to heaven, that you can see what's going to take place. Some verses there in Christian life. Pick up one of those. They're free. Take it. Read it in your room, in your home, wherever you are, your apartment, and where you check your Bible out and underline the verses. Thank you for being here tonight. Pray for these that have come. Our Father, as we end this year, and for some it's been a rough year, and some it's been a great year. And the truth of the matter is that the only thing that's going to change in this coming new year is the calendar. If we had problems going, leaving 2010, we'll have them going in 2011. If we're on paper, we'll still be on paper. We got things that we're indebted for, we're still indebted for. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ can come into our lives and take care of every problem. Help us to get to know you better, Father. Help us to know your Son better. Thank you for those that have come tonight for whatever purpose. We pray that they would be different tomorrow because of their decision tonight. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for our workers and those that donate so much time to help this rec room be a success. Thank you again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Still no breakfast Saturday morning. We'll be next week. The bar's open. Get something to eat and drink.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.